thank you for telling us some things about the motorcycle group, and then we're praying for our missionaries, the Wilsons. I did not realize that South Sudan was quite that restrictive and avoided, but you know, when you're going to where God wants you to go, then there's no better place to be in the world. Amen? And so, Galatians chapter number 5. We've been working through this topic of wrongly dividing the word of truth. Not that we're trying to wrongly divide it, but just going through some verses that people, in just my experience, have quoted or said or thought and or asked, and then we've just tried to look at the verse and make sure that we can get an understanding of what the Bible is teaching. How many have ever heard this phrase, fallen from grace? Would you raise your hand? Almost everyone's heard of that term, fall from grace. Galatians chapter 5 is the verse that mentions it. And I think it would be appropriate if we read the context and look at it, so then we can talk about what that means in this chapter. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are, quote, justified by the law, ye are, here it is, fallen from grace. Let's be seated and we'll bow to pray. Father, thank you for the word. I ask for wisdom as we look into it. I pray that you would help me to preach and teach. And then, Lord, I pray that you'd just give us a blessing for the activities and the actions of tonight. We're praying that you be over these tools that we make to witness to people. And Lord, good to hear other groups using different means and different avenues to share the love of Jesus to everyone we meet. Well, God, give us a burden for those who don't know Christ. Lord, give us a yearning to be near to you. And that means we would have to draw with a full heart of assurance and to do some work on our own selves as we would be a vessel sanctified, meet for the Master's use. Lord, thank you for a guest and friends this morning and tonight and the chance to share Jesus with people again. We love you and pray for safety. In Christ's name we ask all these things. Amen. In this verse it says, ye are fallen from grace. But who are we talking about that would, quote, fit into this fallen from grace? I've always had the argument that says, well, preacher, if you just believe that you are saved and you're always saved, what happens when you backslide or you, quote, fall from grace? And I always tell people, us Baptists, we don't believe in backsliding, but we sure do practice it a lot. You know what I'm saying? That's one of my good old reality jokes. We don't believe in it, but we sure do practice it. And I love when David McCracken said, if you're one step away from where you should be, you're backslidden. You're in a backslidden condition. The prodigal son was already prodigal before he got to the far country. That's just where he ended up after he took more than just the first step. But in that thought and that debate, and there are verses that we looked at that one in the Lord's Prayer. If you don't forgive those who trespass against you, your Father will not forgive you. We answered that question. Then we looked at that one in 1 John where how can it be that he that's born of God sinneth not or cannot sin? That was a theological hoop to jump through. And then we talked about baptism last week and how baptism in Scripture does not wash away sin, but it is an answer of a good conscience toward God, and it is obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this one, as we look in the book of Galatians, if there's any letter of Paul that clearly describes salvation by faith and not by works, it would be the book of Galatians. It is very, very clear in the totality of the book, and we'll look through some verses, that where no flesh, as we'll see, is justified by the law. And so what Paul is describing here is that if anyone is going to try to go through the law to be justified, he says at that moment, you're fallen from grace. In other words, the only way that you fall from grace is if you don't have grace to start with. You don't get grace and fall out of it. It's if you're trying to get to Jesus by works alone, that's when you fall from grace because you don't have it at all. You're trying to get to God through some other means than what He's provided. Go with me to chapter 1 in Galatians, and just to get a little bit of context, verse number 6 says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now just pause 1 second. We talked about the gospel this morning. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the power of God. Can somebody say amen? Amen. And then we also found that we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed. So not only is it the power of God to get saved, but it's the power of God to stay saved. It's not you that is going to stay saved. It's going to be the Lord Jesus that makes you saved. I thought that wasn't my phone, but I just wanted to make sure it wasn't beeping. Maybe the Bengals won. No, I'm just teasing. I won't jack. I'm not going to look. Tim Hines gave me a heads up. Amen. I said, Tim, if you shout hallelujah, I'll know we're doing good. And he's anyway. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. There is not another gospel. We're saved by the death, burial, and resurrection. That's the only thing that saves us from sin. Any of my good works never takes one of my bad works away. It doesn't do that. And I say that all the time, but yet I think it needs to be said. And anyway, verse number 7 says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. He says, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Somebody asked me a question about this, and he said, you know, I'm so worried that I might be preaching the wrong gospel. And I said, you can't, because there's only one gospel to preach. Yeah. So, yeah, but, you know, I want to make sure that I'm not the one being accursed. I'm like, well, let's make sure that we're not changing it and that we're preaching the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the faith in that, and that's what we're going to get to in this chapter, is what justifies a soul from their sin. Just skip ahead with me and look at Galatians chapter 2. Look at verse number 15 and 16. Paul goes through chapter 1 describing some of the ways that he got what God gave him and he didn't confer with man. Chapter 2, he kind of gives you some more of the history of how he went and had right hand of fellowship with the Jews that were preaching the same gospel to the Jews as Paul was to the Gentiles. And then something strange happens. He finds Peter kind of being sheepish and kind of avoiding the Gentiles when they came together in chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. And Paul just went right up to Peter and says, this ain't right. You should not be avoiding these Gentiles because there's Jews around. You're preaching the same thing I am. You're not trying to be keep the Jewish law. So why are you avoiding these Gentiles? And I'm ad-libbing a little bit, but that's in verse 14. And then Paul says in verse 15, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, look at this, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall, what? No flesh be justified. It's not just said twice in this verse. Although you just read it, it kind of said it twice in the same verse. Just kind of reworded it and rehashed it. But this is repeated over and over in the New Testament. And I just want to look a few verses before we go to this next point. Look at chapter 3, verse 11 of Galatians. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Look back with me to Acts 13, verse 39. Just want to make sure we set this in our minds and then look at the next thought that is presented here in this Galatians before we get to this fall by grace. Acts chapter 13, I'll look at verse 38 and 39 there. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by what? You're not going to be justified in the sight of God by any good work or any keeping of any law. We're not trying to say you shouldn't do good works. We're not trying to cast out any righteous ways and standards after that. But just make sure that all of us are on the same page. Through Galatians, when you're reading Galatians, it's very clear, no flesh is justified by any works. Look at Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It is so easy to get saved, and I think it's so easy for people to not get saved. Really simple. Because if I really, really, really believe and got saved, and am justified in God's eyes, free from sin, how could I not love Him forevermore? Yeah. Yeah. How could I not just fall completely enamored with what He's done for me? We talk about the love of God, just love everyone. No, no. The love of God is that He took my sin away, and He was willing to die for everything that I've done. And now it shows me the cost that that sin brought, and it shows me the length of which Christ went to buy me. Victory in Jesus. He sought me, and He bought me with His redeeming blood. So justifying ourselves in the eyes of God is not by any work. Go back to Galatians with me. Go back to Galatians, look at chapter 3. Just not looking at every verse, but just trying to give you the spirit of the book and the context of it. So then when we get to our verse, we'll make sure that we forevermore will understand what, quote, fall from grace is really talking about. Galatians 3, verse 1. Can I get 2:21 first? I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is what? In other words, if there was a way to get God's righteousness by the law, then Christ would never have had to have died. He could have just came down and held class, held seminars, showed us what to do, brought out charts of the Mosaic Law and the Ten Commandments. Here's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Went through that over and over and said, okay, I'm going back to heaven. See ya. Why would He die if we could get righteousness by the law? But friend, I cannot get righteousness by the law. I can only get righteousness when my sin is taken away from Him dying on the cross. That's a huge verse. He said, I'm not going to frustrate it. Christ would be dead in vain if we could get righteousness some other way than Christ. Verse 1 of chapter 3, ready? O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? I was trying to quote this verse this morning, and I kept skipping over that word bewitched because I thought that's a TV show I wasn't allowed to watch when I was a kid. You know what I'm saying? And I thought, surely I'm quoting that wrong. It can't be bewitched. There it is. I could see Will in the back trying to help me quote the verse, and I'm like, it's not bewitched, it's something else. It's deceived. It's bewitched. That you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. So he says, Who's fooled you? Who's bewitched you? Look at the subject, verse 2. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? How did you get the Spirit of God in your life? Was it when you accomplished 10 of the commandments? 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70? At what point did you do enough good that all of a sudden now I've received the Spirit? He says, this is the question. Did you receive the Spirit by some work you did? Actually, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, it says we received the Spirit after we believed. When you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians 1, 13. I love that verse. Because after someone hears the truth, believes the truth, receives the truth, that's when the truth moved in. And you didn't get that by accomplishing anything. You just got it by submitting everything and receiving the only thing. So here's the question. If you receive the Spirit by works or by the hearing of faith, and I'm going to answer that for everyone, by the hearing of faith. Amen? Amen. So now look at verse 3. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Well, you didn't do anything to receive the Holy Spirit, but now you got to do all these things in order to keep Him. Wait a second. How would that match up in any type of cohesive manner? I didn't get forgiveness of sins because of what I've done, so how am I going to keep forgiveness of sins with what I'm going to do? That's not an equal, logical, spiritual argument. And this is what Galatians is saying too. Having suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain, he therefore that ministereth the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And then he goes down, and I won't use this argument tonight because it's a little involved, but chapter 3 gives the argument of Abraham. And Abraham is such a unique character because everyone that would have been adherent to the Jewish law loves Abraham. Because Abraham is their father. I used to sing it in junior church. Father Abraham hath many. And I used to love to turn my head and move my arms and kick the kid in front of me. You know what I'm saying? And hath many sons hath Father Abraham. And we sing that song, but everyone who would identify the law would love Abraham because they worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and but this chapter goes on to say, Abraham believed and got righteousness hundreds of years before the law ever came. So if Abraham was righteous without the law, then all of the ones that are going to be of seed and of the seed of Abraham, not seeds, just one seed, is also going to be by faith. And that argument that Abraham got righteousness before the law, and now Jesus is after the law, fulfills it. And so why would we be trying to pull back something that's already been taken care of and brought us to Christ now that Christ has came? We don't need those signs anymore. I like signs. I'm driving down the highway and I see a sign that says, you know, the destination 35 miles or 22 miles. And I like it when my kids are riding because I'm like, no, 22 miles, quit asking me. No, 11 miles, quit asking me. Once you get to the destination, there's no sign that says 6,584 miles. You got to go all the way around the earth to come back again. Once you get there, the signs are done. Remember one time me and my wife were driving, and we were on our way back from our destination, and she was driving, and I said, honey, I'm just going to take a little nap. And I woke up, and we were like 100 miles the wrong direction. I'm like, what in the world? She's like, I don't know. You told me to drive. I'm like, not the wrong way. And I'm like, where's our sign? How'd you miss it? Once you get to a place, then the signs aren't needed anymore. And the signs that led us to Christ was the law. In fact, it's called a schoolmaster. It brings us to Christ. But now that Christ has come, this law is not in effect, and it never was in effect for righteousness. Acts 13 said, we preach the Lord Jesus and believe in Him what the law could not do. Bring forgiveness of sins. And so Galatians says, you didn't start with the law, you started with the Spirit. You're not going to be finished with the law, you're going to be finished in the Spirit. And then it goes through this illustration of Abraham. And then it talks about Abraham as an allegory with, with the son Ishmael and Isaac. But now, if you can go with me and look at chapter number 5. Look at chapter 5 again. As we go through this argument of the systems of law and of grace and how they can't coincide together. So chapter 4 is going to tell you. And the illustration is that Abraham and Sarah said, cast the bondwoman out. That was like heartless, wasn't it? Here you got Ishmael and Hagar, and you know, she had a child with Abraham because Sarah wanted him to, and trying to please everybody. And then all of a sudden, that after Ishmael and Isaac are growing up, and there's some civil rivalry there, and one's picking on the other one, and you look funny, no, you do too, and all that stuff. And finally said, hey, get her out. And God said, Abraham, do it. I'm sure that had to be one of the hardest days for Abraham to say, Hagar and Ishmael, you have to leave. But knowing what the bigger picture is in Scripture, that it's showing that once Jesus, the promise by faith comes, get out, law. You have no business anymore. You brought us to Christ, but now these two systems cannot go together. We've never tried to preach that you shouldn't do right, but we've always tried to preach you're not going to do right to get to heaven.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen? And so it only seemed consistent to say, if you're not going to do right things to get to heaven, how do you get it that you have to keep doing right things to stay going to heaven? That's a different key that got through the door. The key of faith opened the door, but now we're going to change keys. Now it's works to go back. No, that's not the key that opened the door. And so Galatians 5, verse number 1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us what? You're free. What do you mean free? You're free. Loose, go. Well, what if we do bad? You got a heavenly Father that loves you enough to make sure you get disciplined when you do bad. And not just law, you got the loving Father who's better than the law. He knows your heart. He knows the direction. He knows when you cross the line, not going to come back. And he knows just how to give you the exact thing you need to get your attention. It's a lot better than the law. It says, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And so this subject of circumcision in verse 2, it's just representative of that mark of keeping the law. It's not just that specific act, but it was the representation that that would be a fulfillment of the law. Abraham also was part of circumcision before the law came. But this circumcision in verse 2, and referring to it in verse 3, and he says, verse 4, Christ has become of none effect. Whosoever you are justified by the law. Now, we just read 5-6 verses that say no one is justified by the law. So don't read more into that. It's not claiming you are. It's saying if you're trying to be, Christ is no effect to you. That's the dangerous, dangerous, slippery slope of other doctrines about salvation. And I'm not the judge. I don't want to be. I'm thankful I'm not going to be. I'm not the judge. I'm not the accuser, I'm not the prosecutor or the defendant, I'm just a witness, amen? I don't want to be any other part of the scenario except the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I tell you, if we're trusting in anything other than Jesus Christ and Him alone, that's scary, scary stuff for a preacher who knows the Bible. That's a scary, scary standing to be trusting in something else than Christ alone for our righteousness. And that's why verse 4 says, if you're trying to be justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. Not if you're not keeping the law, you're fallen from grace. Yeah. Not that if you stop doing the right things that you should, you're fallen from grace. No, if you try to be justified by keeping the law, that's when you're fallen. And I'm going to fall on this rug in a second if I don't be careful. That'd been hilarious, falling the rug while I'm talking about falling from grace. Amen. No one would put that on social media, I'm sure. That would never make anybody's top 10 list. So the term fallen from grace has nothing to do with backsliding and losing salvation. It has everything to do with not getting salvation through grace and trying to get it some other way. Do you see that?
Yeah.
And so if you ever hear somebody say, well, I believe you can fall from grace, show me the verse you're talking about. Just show me that verse.
Yeah.
Well, it's in the Bible. Don't give me the ragu answer. It's in there. Okay, don't give me that every ingredient's in there. No, tell me the verse. Let's look at it so we can figure out what's in there, and then we can rightly divide the word of truth. In fact, if we talk about fall, it does say that we should be careful that we don't fall from our steadfastness. That's our firmness or our steadiness. It talks about falling into the snare of the devil, falling into temptation. And the one verse in Hebrews says it's impossible to fall away. For if we fall away, in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4 through 6, it says you can never be renewed to repentance because you'd have to crucify the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. See, the argument of falling from grace is really difficult when you have no other place to come back to. It's not like you can fall from grace and climb back up. No, that would mean you've got some other sins that aren't paid for, and Jesus would or somebody would have to pay for the new ones that weren't paid for in the previous order. That's not what the Bible teaches. And so, in fact, let's go to one verse I think is very important about falling. Go to the book of Jude. You can guess which chapter. I'm going to be in verse 24. Jude tells us to keep ourselves in the love of God. I think we ought to keep loving God. Tells us to make a difference, pulling them out of the fire. But verse 24 says this. Now unto him that is able to what? Keep you from falling. And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion, and what? Both now and forever. There's a fellow who used to come to our church, and he was very blunt and very, very ornery. But he'd say this. He said, I've done figured it out. I served Satan for a long time, and he stinks. And I came to Christ, and he forgave me. And if he don't want me, I ain't got any chance anyways, but I'd rather fall at his mercy than go mess with Satan anymore. He'd say, so you can tell me all the things you want about theology, but I'm just telling you, Satan stinks and God's good, and I'm going to stay on God's side. Now, I don't know how you would term that in theology terms, but it was pretty good theology. I know that God's able to keep me from falling, and the only way that I got saved is by God's grace. The only way I'm going to stay saved is by God's grace. And so falling from grace has nothing to do with me not living up to what I should do. Because I'm going to tell you that right now, I haven't lived up to it now. And neither has any of you. Take off your halos.
Yeah. Yeah.
This isn't the First Self-Righteous Church of Marysville. Amen? This is the Bible Baptist Church. And all of us can realize, not to okay sin, not to let sin get a victory, but just to be honest about it, there is no flesh that will be justified in the eyes of God except through the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, if you hear that term, falling from grace, it's in Galatians chapter 5, which tells us the only way you fall from grace is if you're not having Christ have any effect at all. That you're trying to do it by works of the law, through circumcision, and you're a debtor to do the whole thing. You can't just do part of it. That's another angle of it, but just for tonight, I think that that's you ought to know where the verse is at that you quote. A lady this morning was talking about some of her family members, and they said, you know, we appreciate you not shoving it down our throat, but you have answers when we come to ask you. They said, I can't believe that you weren't upset at this other family member who believes differently. And she said, no, if you believe that way and you're convinced, then be the best of that you can be. And I, not to give in to other doctrines, but to tell you, get you a verse. And if you believe a doctrine because of verses in the Bible, we have something to spur with and to spar with and to come to some decision with. Get the verses. Know where you stand. Have an honest heart that you're standing on the Word of God and then we can go from there. But when we just stand on the whims of what we think about God or what we've heard about God or what someone thought they said about God, you really don't have anything to stand on until you've got the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone in the Word of God. The You're supposed to yell like a kid. Amen. Bible! It's a great, great strength and source of comfort and confidence to have. And so I'm not concerned about falling from grace. In fact, if I could have fallen from grace, I'd have fell the first year. I'd have fell the first 6 months. I'd have fell the first month. No, I'd have probably fallen the first week. Okay, the first day. Okay, fine. Okay, the first hour. I'll give it. It's not a matter of when. It's not a matter if. It's just a matter of when, if that was the question. But because I've come and fallen on my knees before Jesus, and he's justified me by my faith in his atoning blood on the cross, there is nothing to fall from because he's the one holding me up. And no man shall pluck them out of my hand. All God's people said, Amen. Father in heaven, thank you for the word of God tonight. Thank you for the work.